Welcome to AMA Edgewise. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. On today's program, co-producer Doug Sohn is behind the microphone.
Our guest on the program today is David Livermore, president of the Cultural Intelligence Center located in East Lansing, Michigan. His latest book is Cultural Intelligence Difference. I think everybody's heard of IQ.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have heard of EQ, which is emotional intelligence.
Right.
What's CQ?
CQ, cultural intelligence, picks up right where emotional intelligence leaves off. In fact, it's literally rooted in some of the same science and research. Emotional intelligence assumes that we can pick up on social cues and
right.
things that we know about different people to try and get a read on how they are emotionally and how we should interact with them socially. Many times, if we're doing that with someone from a different culture, the very cue that might mean I'm upset in one culture might mean I'm just respecting you and waiting for you to ask me a question in another culture.
Right.
CQ basically helps you behave with practical and emotional intelligence in a culturally diverse setting. One of the questions people often ask me is, you say that anyone can actually become more culturally intelligent. Can they really? Of course, we can't force anybody to be more culturally intelligent, but anybody who has the will and desire to can gradually, slowly but surely become more culturally intelligent. And I don't think any of us ever arrives there. I continue to do many cultural faux pas myself, but it's more a matter of beginning to have increased awareness of what's going on and then being able to translate that awareness into effective management and business strategy.
We always hear about the cultural differences related to gestures and
sure.
body language.
Mm-hmm.
Is it an inherent intelligence or is it just mm-hmm. a knowledge of these different things?
That's where CQ and EQ would differ from IQ. IQ is very much this idea of here's your intelligence, you're stuck with it,
right, right.
learn how to cope with it. Emotional and cultural intelligence is believed to be a capability that somebody can develop through experience, through mentoring, coaching, training. Knowledge is a significant part of it. We have four different areas that people get assessed in that are a part of cultural intelligence, and knowledge would be one of them, one of the most significant ones, but not the only one that's there. The first is their motivation and their drive. To what degree are they even motivated and interested in different cultures? The second one is the one that's most focused on, the knowledge. What we often assume is teach people about cultural differences and then we're good to go. But the challenge is I still might not be motivated to do it, but now I have this knowledge. The third one gets to strategy. The academic term is metacognition. Can you think deeply about what you're going to do? So I might know that, say, the Japanese value trust being built in relationship over time spent, but can I actually negotiate a deal and keep corporate happy and not go over my expense account for the year? Great that I have all this knowledge, but can I develop a plan and strategy to do it? And then the fourth one, perhaps the one that matters most, is behavior, action, to know when I should adapt my behavior and when I shouldn't. There's nothing worse than watching somebody who's trying to go native to every culture they're with, but there's certain adaptations that would really make a difference to help somebody be successful in management.
So now, is there a curriculum you could take to improve your CQ?
There is, yeah. A lot of different companies as well as nonprofits are using that. And this book is largely a curriculum for the individual.
And I'm sure you have an assessment that's involved. What's that based upon?
What's most interesting is what it's not based upon.
Okay.
Many people assume where you grew up or your gender or your ethnicity must have some correlation with CQ. We've really not found that to be true. There's no consistent thought that says the higher your IQ, the higher your CQ. We do have an assessment that is based upon how well an individual understands different cultures, what's their ability to act upon that understanding. And then, of course, the more valid assessments also have other people rate them in some of the same areas.
Right.
This is an instrument that's been validated and worked on for about 10 years by academics. And just now in the last 18 to 24 months, it started to get more out into the mainstream for everyday people to make use of.
There's two sides of this. There's the organizations that
mm-hmm.
have managers or employees working in a global environment, whether they're in a foreign country or even working with people here of different
yep.
cultures. And then there's the individuals
mm-hmm.
who need to better themselves and advance their careers. Are there organizations that have put this into place?
There are a number of organizations that are doing that. Large airlines like Lufthansa or Singapore Airlines, a number of others. And probably the group that we're working with the most right now is maybe a group that many of our listeners have not heard of, IATA, the International Air Transport Authority, but most of our lives are impacted by them. They act on behalf of the airlines, and they largely, by their own admission, have been a very white, European-dominated organization, but they're working in 140 different countries with staff from 75 different nationalities. So they've been saying, okay, it's a given. We have to figure out this idea of cultural intelligence. We interact with each other on it, with our different nations and airlines. What they've done is what we've seen a lot of companies do. They'll highlight this in their high potentials. They'll focus on how do you develop cultural intelligence in the up-and-coming managers, senior leaders of the future, realizing that this isn't just something that you're going to need if you're an HR person working with diversity issues or just if you're doing international sales, but everybody is going to be functioning and managing in a culturally diverse environment.
Right. One thing I wonder about is we have such a globally interconnected business environment with virtual teams or virtual presence and connection.
Absolutely.
Where you have to deal with people of different cultures, right, but you don't necessarily ever meet them.
Oftentimes people will think, well, we just need to do this for our really senior people or our salespeople who have a sales account in China. But many of the people who deal with the everyday challenges and frustrations of that are sitting in a cubicle and never leave Midwest America. We talk about virtual teams,
right,
but I just had lunch with a colleague of ours who was talking about a friend who has to go to Japan, even if it's for a 36-hour meeting, and the importance of that face-to-face meeting and meal together. And she said, how could that possibly be a good use of time and money? But in Japan, trust often cannot be conveyed through technology.
Yeah, and that's interesting because you think of Japan as one of the most technologically advanced countries.
For sure.
Is your CQ different in the virtual versus the physical
in
world?
In one way, no. It's believed to be a stable measurement across different scenarios, but certainly the way that you would apply it would look different. But it's probably more about having an awareness of when should I use technology and when should I pick up the phone and when should I book a plane ticket and go see them face to face.
Do you find that people from different areas of the world are more accepting? And what is the view of Americans abroad? You always hear the ugly American.
Yeah.
Is that true? Is CQ something we really need more than other cultures?
I think we all need it, but I think because we've had a bum rap and maybe we've earned that bum rap through the years, it probably bodes well for Americans especially to do this. Much of the world for a long time has been working on this competency, in large part to understand us as Americans and how to interact with us. What I usually hear from people around the world is, we like the Americans we meet. It's the system that we loathe or their idea of what it represents. I think we can use that to our advantage as we develop relationships and start to react against some of those negative perceptions. But even the individual who might score really, really well on our CQ assessment needs to understand that there's lots of baggage that they might be inheriting from other Americans who have interacted with this culture.
And they might just walk into something, a preconceived notion.
For sure.
No matter how good they are.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, what are the first steps?
Having an understanding of my own culture is the first step. Many
okay.
of us are unaware of how we ourselves are products of culture and the way that we've been socialized for certain things. Then how do I start to become more aware of the cultural differences of others and move toward being less judgmental of that's just wrong or that's weird to, oh, wait a second, did I need to equate a negative value to that? To state that it's different, notice it's different, that's helpful.
Right.
These are the kind of almost commonsensical but very practical strategies that individuals will find throughout the Cultural Intelligence Difference book that just gives them some ideas that don't have to become this PhD course in international policy development, but rather some practical strategies they can take on based upon research that's been done around the world.
Our guest today is David Livermore. His book is Cultural Intelligence Difference, published by AMICOM, the division of the American Management Association. We did a webcast with David last year, give you some more insight into this topic. You could check that out in our webcast section. That would be amanet.org/events. Thank you, David, for being with us on Edgewise.
Thank you. And for more information on cultural intelligence, visit culturalq.com.
The American Management Association has an international presence, adding value to your organization by involving you in a global community of peers and practitioners via one of the world's most sophisticated knowledge exchange networks. Today, AMA's global reach extends from Management Center Europe in Brussels to Management Center de Mexico in Mexico City, from the Canadian Management Center in Toronto to AMA Japan in Tokyo. And since 1995, AMA has served the Chinese market through the Asia-Pacific Management Institute in Shanghai. Thanks for taking us along. You've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.